Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we just want to welcome each and every one of you here tonight. So good to see your smiling faces and welcome those watching by Facebook. I'm Pastor Sharon and this is Pastor Rock. And we want to encourage you before I turn it over to Jim tonight to, during the service, if you will, just send us a comment and let us know how this ministry is blessing you, or if you have a prayer request, we would love for you to send that to us also so that we can pray over you. We are a praying church, aren't we? Amen. And our intercessors are meeting twice a week still, and they're praying over our church, and they'll pray over your prayer request also. And we take a prayer request very seriously, and we know that God answers prayer. Amen. So please send those in to us. And at this time, I'll call Jim up, please, and just be ready to receive what God has for you. She always has a word in season, amen, so I know the Lord's going to speak just to you tonight.
Praise God. And as often as I've been up here, you would think that I wouldn't be nervous, but I always get nervous. Tonight I'm teaching on the goodness of God. I should have entitled it Ways to Receive His Goodness, but you guys will get, you'll get it. Let's go into prayer. Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory once more because you are good. You are such a good God. Lord, you are so good to us. You're good to us all the time. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Father, Lord, that the mercy well and the goodness well never runs dry. Lord, I just turn this teaching over to you. I ask, Lord, that you will give me the utterance to deliver it and give your people hearing ears and a receiving heart to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought that I was going to go in one direction with the lesson. And as usual, it just didn't work out. God had a whole different take that he wanted me to share. And this is one of my favorite verses, Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. See, we're to taste. You know, for years, I read the scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But it was only today that the Holy Spirit revealed to me about tasting. Have you ever thought about that when you've read the scripture? How do you taste God's word? That's what the Holy Spirit wants me to transfer to everybody today. How to learn how to taste. How do we taste of its word? What does it mean to taste? We all know what it means to taste, don't we? Everyone knows, even a baby. My youngest, when he was just a few months old and when he had just started eating food and I tried to feed him, he was a picky eater even then. And he would stick his tongue out. He would stick his tongue out to taste the food. And I would never let him taste it, especially if it was broccoli, you know, or spinach or something like that. Instead, I would just stick the spoon right in his mouth. And then he would sit there, you know, and just kind of, you know, push it around his mouth to see if he liked it, if it tastes good. So I'd always make sure, you know, I put a little bit of butter and a pinch of salt, you know, zing it up a little bit, so it'll taste good to him. He was some, I don't know how many months, you know, when I introduced him to food, but he wanted to taste the food. God wants us to taste of his word, okay? So how do we go about tasting God's word? There was a season in my life when it seems like God's goodness was being poured out. Every time I turned around, I was receiving God's goodness. And I remember this particular friend that I met, you know, we were in Hawaii, and she came to me and she said, how do you get God to answer your prayers? I want you to tell me. You know, she thought I had some kind of a formula or something. And I really didn't know what to tell her at the time. I said, well, I just pray and believe in the answers. I mean, I was right. But there were some more, there were a few more details that I left out, which is what I'm going to teach on tonight. Number one, we have to renew our mind to the Word of God. You know, many of us, many of God's children, sad to say, are not renewing their minds to God's Word. Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we're to pick up the Word and not just read it, not just run through it, you know, and then close the Bible and say, okay, I read the Word. You know, God wants us to meditate on the Word. You know, chew it over. Chew like a cow. You know how a cow chews? It chews and chews, and then, you know, it chews and bring it up and chew it again. That's what we're supposed to do, chew on the Word. And the more we chew on God's Word, the more revelation we'll get, the more He'll reveal Himself to us, the more He'll reveal what His Word says. We're to dig through it. You know, we have all kinds of versions. We have the King James versions, the Amplified versions, this version, that version. The other day I was listening to Rick Renner, and he is coming out with a version. Everybody have a version, okay? And so for those of us who have trouble understanding the King James Version, there are all other versions available to us. So there's no excuse for us not picking up God's Word and, you know, reading it, compare different versions. That's what I do from time to time. Find a version that works for you. Find a version that speaks to you. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Okay? That's what He's there for. He's our helper. He's there to help us. You know, as we depend on Him, He'll open up the Word to us. I remember when I, this particular scripture, Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. I couldn't figure out that scripture. I mean, how do you get angry and not sin? You know, I was a young convert, and you know, and I didn't really know a lot. But this one particular day, it was a day. It was about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was reading the Word, and I came on this scripture: "Be angry and sin not." And instantly, just like that, it was revealed to me what it meant. Because, see, I had gone over it and over and over and over. I didn't know I was meditating it. I thought I was just reading it, but actually I was meditating it. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that the kind of anger that God was talking about there was a righteous anger. Not the carnal anger that we get. You know, someone cut us off in the road and we get angry. Not that kind of anger, but a righteous anger. And when we have a righteous anger, we're not sinning. For example, when Jesus, you know, overturned the tables in the temple and, you know, and beat the people up with the whip, that was a righteous anger. Because they were not obeying what the Word says. They were making God's house a house of merchandise. God says His house is a house of prayer. And so He became angry, and He just overthrew everything and beat them out. Righteous anger. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me. I didn't learn that in school, didn't read it in a book. That came directly from the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we meditate the Word. So once we meditate the Word and we get the revelation of what the Word says, we need to put the Word to work. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, God wants us to act on what His Word says. There's a difference, there's a distinct difference between hearing someone talk about something and actually experiencing it for yourself. When you experience something, no one can tell you nothing. You just know that you know that you know. right? And so God, I mean, testimonies are good. I'm not knocking testimonies because they do help us, they encourage us. But not, you know, when you've experienced something, when you've experienced God's goodness, when you've experienced God moving in your life, there, you know, it's there's a difference there. You know. It's difficult for the enemy to come, you know, and tell you otherwise. Because you know what God did for you. So he wants us to act on the word. We've all heard the saying, experience is the best teacher. I don't necessarily know if I agree with it because there are some things that I would rather not experience. You know, I try to learn from other people. It's better to me. I don't want to have to go through the whole thing and, you know, and get beat up. But there are some things that we do have to experience for ourselves because it shapes us, it helps to mold us, it helps us to grow. A lot of the difficulties that I went through in my younger years when I was just a newborn Christian, let me tell you, when I got saved, Satan did not really give me time to get firmly rooted and grounded. It seems like I got saved today, this week, and next week all hell broke loose. I mean, and I had, it just went for 2 years. I'll never forget it. 2 whole years, a baby Christian going through trials like you would not believe. And then suddenly, it just seemed like God just came on the scene and said, enough. And the enemy was made to back off. So I experienced some things as a newborn Christian. And so as a result, I was able to relate, you know, to other people, other Christians, when they're going through stuff and they're telling me, you know, I could understand. And I could tell them, well, I understand because I've experienced it and I can share what, you know, what God brought me through. And that was an encouragement to them. You know, it's always encouraging when you find someone who is going through or has gone through the same thing that you're going through. Amen. Amen. And so that experience that we have, you know, when we go through, it's like tasting, isn't it? You know? And when we read God's word, we renew our minds. We have to renew our minds. And you know, and we act on God's word, we're tasting. Yes. We're doing what Matthew did. He was tasting. So God wants us to act on the word for ourselves. He wants us to experience and not just depend on, you know, on other people. Because there's an enemy out there. And he is quick to try to tell us, to, you know, oh, it doesn't work. You know, it may work for so-and-so, but it may not work for you. See, he's a liar. Yes. And we, you know, we have to remember that and not believe him. Right now, we're going through a pandemic. There's a lot of negativity out there. You know, and God is getting blamed for it. Since this whole thing started, I've heard on TV a lot of people saying, you know, well, God did this. You know, he sent this to teach us a lesson. Let me tell you something. God didn't send it. God did not send this pandemic. God is a good God. God doesn't need to put this kind of stuff on us to teach us a lesson. If he wants to teach us a lesson, he knows how to do it. Okay? God is good, and he's good all the time. It's us. When we don't obey God's word, when we don't do what he says, we're the ones that open the door so Satan can come in and bring disaster in our lives. So if there's anyone to blame, it's us. You know, the government has basically pushed God out of every fabric of our society. You know, schools, kids can't pray in school. They can't write anything about God or Jesus in their essays. They can't pray before a college game, a college football game. They can't mention God in their graduation speech. If someone puts up a nativity scene, there's some group somewhere, you know, waiting to sue you because somehow you've offended their feelings by putting up your nativity scene. I mean, it's crazy. You know, when we push God out and Satan comes in, how is that God's fault? It's not his fault. It's our fault. We allow him to be pushed out. God is good. He is a good God, and he's good all the time. James 1:17 in NIV version says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Last Sunday, a word came in tongues, and then there was an interpretation, and it says, if I remember correctly, that God doesn't change. Isn't that what it said? God never changed. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same tomorrow. He's not shifty. He's not in a good mood today and in a bad mood tomorrow. He's not affected by society. He's not affected by the change in our culture. He's not affected by Wall Street or economy, none of that. He's God, he's sovereign. He's a good God. God wants to prosper us. He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. God is good. John 10:10 says, Jesus came, this is Jesus speaking, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. He's not stingy. He's a generous God. He gives abundantly. He's a God of abundance. The Amplified Version says, and I really like this, it says, I came that they would have life I came that they would have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Isn't that wonderful? To the full till it overflows. I like overflow. Don't you like overflow? We all do. He came so that we would have and have it more abundantly. When we renew our minds and we act, you know, we act in his word, when we keep God's word constantly before our eyes, because, you know, if we don't do that, we have a tendency to forget, don't we? You know, sometimes, you know, I remember something that God did for me a while back, and you know, I'm amazed that I forgot it. I'll say to myself, how in the world could you forget something like that? You know? But you know, we forget, we're forgetful people. And so that's why we have to keep God's word before our eyes. That's why we have to meditate it and put it into action. And when we do, God will honor his word. He'll never let his word fall to the ground. Isaiah 55:10, we all know this. Just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and does not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Jeremiah 1:12, the latter part says, I will watch over my word to perform it. The King James says, I will hasten my word. God is good. He keeps his word, and he does what he says he'll do. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to the power of our faith. That's why we have to feed our faith. When we fuel God's word to our faith is strengthened. And when our faith is strengthened, we're confident. We become confident. You know, timidity vanishes. It flies out the window. And when we're confident on God's word, will act on it. Matthew 9, two blind men requested healing. They, you know, they were blind and they wanted Jesus to heal them. And so Jesus asked, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, we believe. See, we have to believe, we have to have faith. And the Bible says he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to their faith, they were healed. What if they were iffy? What they were saying, he might not heal me. Maybe he doesn't like me. You know, do you think they would have gotten healed? No. So we have to believe. We have to have that faith. Immediately the Bible said they were able to see. God is good. Now I have to be careful here because I'm about to share something and I don't want to give it all away. Some people know, but some don't. I was somewhere. I went somewhere and I was naughty. I did something I shouldn't have done. I knew that I shouldn't be doing it. But I wanted it so badly, and I said, Lord, I'm believing you to cover me. You know, I believe that God would extend favor to me. I believe that he would extend his goodness to me. I believe, even though I was naughty, I was believing that, you know, it's Jam, you know, your favorite. Jerry Savelle always says that he is God's favorite. Well, I have news for Jerry. I'm in trouble. I'm God's favorite. So I went through with this thing that I shouldn't have done. And, you know, I went through a bunch of things, but anyway, you know, it everything worked out. So when I showed up here for church, Patty said to me, what were you doing at such and such a time? And I said, why do you ask? And she said, because Jody gave a word. And the word, you know, that she said, God said, pray for Jam. Pray for Jam. Now, I'm building on something here. And so she went up to pastors them. I don't know if they remember. And they didn't, I don't think they knew what I was doing at that particular time, but there was one other lady, Charmaine, which said, when she heard the word, she said, I knew exactly what you were up to. So the church prayed for me. You guys prayed for me. See, I believe that I would receive God's goodness, and I did, even though I was being naughty. Isn't God good? Don't tell me God isn't good. I mean, he didn't condone what I was doing. But if he didn't help me out, boy, I'm telling you, I would have been in some real trouble. I mean, big trouble. My fat would have been in the fire. I would have been frying. But I received the goodness of God because I believe. All right? And you guys obeyed the word. I want to, you know, I don't want to get ahead of the lesson. Remind me about that obedience. The key that obedience plays. So God delivered me from this particular situation. Of course, I would have never known if Patty hadn't mentioned it. And if Jody is listening, Jody, I owe you lunch. If she's not listening, no. But you see, her obedience,
that's right,
helped the goodness of God to work in my life.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to leave that there for now because I have to come back to something else. Hebrews 1:11-16. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, you know, our faith plays a role in us getting our prayers answered. We have to believe. We have to work the word. Because if we don't believe, we're just wasting our time. The word says so. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. David, in Psalms 27:13, he says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Our belief in God's word is, you know, is what will allow us to experience his goodness. Now, sometimes there are times when God is merciful and he'll extend his goodness anyway because he's a good God. But it's extended even more when we believe, you know, when we have faith, when we act on his word, like I did. So, you know, we taste, you know, when we read God's word, we meditate his word, we believe his word, we act on the word. That's all a part of tasting. Tasting. We're tasting. You know, from time to time, I like to look at the cooking channels. You know, they have all those delicious looking recipes, you know, that you sit there and your mouth is just salivating because it looks so good. Now, what if we see a delicious, let's say, strawberry cheesecake? I like cheesecake. And it looks good, you know, and we're wishing that we could taste it. Oh man, that looks good. I wish I could taste it. Do you think by just sitting there and looking at that cake that we'll actually know what it tastes like? No. What do we have to do? How do we taste it? We make the cake. We get the recipe and we follow the instructions, you know, get all the ingredients and we make the cake. And then once we've made the cake, then we can taste it. But you know, God's word is the same thing. We have to read it, we have to meditate it, we have to believe it, and we have to do it. And when we do it, the goodness of God opens up to us. We must be able to receive of his goodness. You know, some of us have problems receiving. We love to give. We're always giving. But when it comes to us receiving, you know, we feel, oh, you know, I don't deserve this, or I'm not worthy. When you get thoughts like that, that's the enemy. He is the one coming and, you know, putting this stuff in our head. He'll try to convince us, you know, that we don't deserve this and we don't deserve that. He's a liar. Jesus said he is. Jesus said he's the father of lies. Psalms 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. When we're walking uprightly, God wants to bless us. You know, he's not in the business of withholding his goodness from his children. When our lives line up with his word, he wants us to have his goodness. The problem is, we don't want to line up with God's word. We try to bend the word to suit our lifestyle. It's not what we do. You know, we try to, you know, finagle the word and you know, maybe try to guilt trip God. But that doesn't work. God's word is his word and it never changes. And so we're the ones who have to do the lining up. We're the ones who have to obey. We're the ones who have to do. When we line up, God's goodness is unveiled. We must never allow the enemy to talk us out of believing or acting on what God's word says. Another thing Satan will try to do is use fear. You know, fear is a weapon. And he's been using it quite a bit in these times that we're going through, putting fear in people's lives. But the word says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So we cannot allow fear to overwhelm us. If we do, we'll miss what God wants to do for us. We'll, you know, there are times when a door will be opened, but only at a specific time. There's a timing. God is a God of timing. And there are certain times when he will do certain things, and we have to be ready to move in that particular timing, or we'll miss his goodness. 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elijah had to move and go when God when God gave him a particular instruction. Let's read in verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Zidon and stay there, for I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." Notice, God said, "Go at once." He didn't just say go. He said, "At once, go now." What if Elijah had decided, "Oh, it's hot and I'm tired. You know, I need a rest, or I need to take a nap, or I'll travel when the place is cooler." He would have missed it, because see, God knew that widow was going to be at a specific place, at a specific time, gathering sticks. And so when God says, "Go now, go at once," if Elijah hadn't obeyed, he would have missed the opportunity that would have affected both him and the widow.
That's right.
You know, by the time he showed up, she would have been gone. And both of them would have missed the chance at supernatural provision. Remember, you know, the Bible said the oil didn't run out, neither the meal. They ate from a little bit of meal and some oil for 3.5 years in the time of famine. And it was because Elijah was obedient. Now, getting back to Jody, what if when she had gotten that word to pray for Jim, and she had said, "I don't know, I'll wait till I get home." Boy, I'm telling you, my goose would have been cooked. But she got the word, and she gave it right then. You guys were here. And she got the word, "Pray for Jim." And she obeyed immediately. She spoke to pastors, and she told them what God said. And everybody, from what I heard, prayed for Jim. God, see, God knows my name. I told you I have it in good with him. He knows my name. That made me feel so special when he said, "Prayed for Jim." He called me by my name. God knows your name, each and every single one of you. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows everything there is to know about you. So her obedience helped pull my fat out the fire. Yeah, because let me tell you, I can't tell what the thing is. So, those of you watching on Facebook, don't nobody inbox me and ask me, "What's that thing that you couldn't tell?" I'm not telling. You know, I've heard Judge Millian, you know, the People's Court judge. She always says, "Say it, forget it, write it, regret it." I'm not writing nothing. So don't inbox me and ask. I can't tell. See, there are some things that are just for in-house people.
There you go. That's right.
Sorry, guys. But her obedience, I'm trying to get across, you know, how obedience, the role obedience plays in the goodness of God, how we receive the goodness of God when we obey. We have to obey his word and obey when God tells us to at once. The prophet said, the prophet was told, "Go at once," and he went and he found the widow. And we all know the story. You know, he told her what to do, and she obeyed. She made him a little cake and stuff, and they ate. And the next thing, the little meal that she had was suddenly multiplied, and the little bit of oil that was about to run out, suddenly she had more, and she had more and more, and she kept having more until the famine was over 3.5 years later. That would have never happened had she not that the prophet not obeyed, and that she not obeyed the instructions of the prophet, they would have never seen the goodness of God. Some of us aren't seeing the goodness of God because we're not obedient.
That's right.
We're disobedient, or we put things off. You know, I've heard it said, delayed obedience is really disobedience.
That's right.
When God says now, move now, move now, we don't have to understand it. We don't have to try to figure it out. If God says, move now, move now, he knows. You know, he said he's already declared the end from the beginning. God knows everything. There was another prophet who was the opposite of Elijah. He was sent in 1 Kings 13. This king was sent with a word. To give Jeroboam a word, and he was instructed that once you give the word, leave. Do not stick around in this place. Don't eat or drink anything. Deliver the word and leave. So he went as God told him, and he delivered the word. But, you know, we have to be very mindful of buts. Here comes another prophet, and he told him, that some angel appeared to him and told him it was okay to, you know, come home with me and, you know, and have something to eat and something to drink, refresh yourself. Now, who are we going to obey? What God said or what some so-called supposed angel said? See, we have to be careful, you know, to obey God and not what somebody else is saying. If what they're saying does not line up with what God tells us, because God never contradicts his word. He's not going to tell us one thing and then instruct someone else to come and tell us the opposite.
Amen.
God confirms his word rather.
Right.
You know. So if then the angel, you know, comes to you and tells you something that's not in God's word, well, whose report are you going to believe? What the angel said? You know, Satan has angels that transform themselves into angels of light. So we have to be careful to obey God's word, obey God's command. And so he went with this prophet, and he ate and he drank, and when he decided to leave, he had a horrible end. He was attacked by a lion who ate him. He totally missed it because of disobedience. He did not see the goodness of God because of his disobedience. So it's important for us to pay attention to God's word and obey what he says. Our obedience is the key to receiving and experiencing God's goodness. And so I'm going to wrap it up. Number one, renew our minds to what God's, to the word of God. Renew it, read it, meditate on it, dwell on it. Even if it's just one scripture, and we meditate that scripture every single day, you know, God will reveal his word when we meditate. Believe the word. We must believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Act on the word. Be doers of the word. God wants us to be doers, not just hearers, deceiving ourselves, but to be doers. And last but not least, we must be willing to receive God's goodness. See, getting back to my naughtiness, it really wasn't, you know, I wasn't, you know, stealing anything or, you know, I wasn't really, you know, committing like a crime, but I was breaking a rule that I should not have been breaking, and I knew that I shouldn't have been doing it, but nonetheless, I was believing God, you know, extend your favor to me, I was believing for God's favor in this particular situation, I was believing for his goodness, and he extended it to me. Of course, you know, another opportunity came where I was in the same situation, and Carol said to me, her and Charmaine, now, Jem, remember, don't do this thing again. Remember what happened, what almost happened? And I said, don't worry. This is where I've learned her lesson. I don't have to go through this twice. See, I don't like pain. You know, I stomp my foot in one time on a particular stone, I'm not going by that stone again, all right? So that's my word for today. I hope it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you.